Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 37 of the Cricket Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at DefMango on Twitter. I also have Estelle Vasudevan with me, who you can find at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one. And as always, we've got Jared Kimber as well, who you can find absolutely everywhere. And to those of you who are new, what we do on this podcast, Cricket Picks, is that we take any generic cricket topic and we draft our top five for that particular category. But sometimes we combine to create a team of 12, and that's what this episode is going to be as well. And this time, we'll be building a T20 all-rounders team all time. So, even your wicketkeeper must have bowled a few deliveries to qualify for this particular team. And I think, Estelle, you have pick number one. And then it's Jared, then it's myself. And I'm really keen to see where you go with this.
Yeah, I think it was a pretty obvious one for me. I'm going with Rashid Khan. One of the best spinners in the world, but also quite handy with the bat. Can get some important runs down the order. But you also get the feeling that he hasn't really lived up to his batting potential yet in international cricket. So I think he definitely fits the bill as an all-rounder and possibly one of the more obvious picks in this 11.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, right? Because Rashid is obviously primarily a leg spinner, but I suppose he does qualify as a T20 all-rounder. What are your thoughts, Jared?
I didn't have him on my list.
Oh, no.
I was confused about him. I was like, does he qualify? Does he not qualify? But I mean, I'm fine with it.
I just think that there's more all-round. There's another leg spinning all-rounder that I would have picked before him that is not quite as good a bowler as him, but is obviously like five times a better bat than him. And I'm not talking about Hasaranga. So that's what I just thought. I basically just picked a 12, right? And in my 12, he wasn't in it. And partly because there's bunches of spin options anyway.
Yeah.
And so you can get another player in. As I said, there's a couple of other players. It's an interesting choice. Also, it's an argument of whether someone who averages 13 in T20 cricket is an all-rounder or not, which is a really fascinating one, because I think people like me and Rob Barron and other analysts would be like, well, actually, Rashid Khan should be batting further up the order. So technically, he should be more of an all-rounder, but no one really uses him as an all-rounder. So there's almost, it's like the Adil Rashid thing of like, are you really an all-rounder if you're batting at number 10? Like, I don't know. Either way, I think Estelle's gone very punchy to begin with.
Let's see what you do now. You've got your first pick.
Okay. So I'll just go Andre Russell. I think he's the all-rounder of T20 cricket so far in cricket history. So I'm more than happy to just pop him straight in.
Yeah, no, Dre Russ was going to be my first pick as well. I mean, if he was available. And there are a few players who kind of fit that criteria. I feel like he's the best one if you look at all their careers holistically. I mean, recently in the IPL and even in the T20 World Cup, he was more than handy with the ball, would pick up these important wickets with his back of the length, slower deliveries. And I feel like none of us expected him to be this good in 2024, and yet he was.
Yeah.
So I think that really goes on to show you his pedigree as a T20 all-rounder.
No, I think that makes sense.
All right. So my first pick, I'm also going to go for an obvious one. I'm going to pick Glenn Maxwell. I feel like he would have made this team anyway. And Maxi is someone who can hit the ball a country mile. And he also reverse sweeps the ball to perfection. He's quite handy with, ball in hand as well as an off spinner. And I'm not expecting him to bowl four overs in this team because obviously it's a team of all-rounders. But he gives you an option to bowl flatted trajectory, right arm off spin. And sometimes that's handy when you've got a left-hander on. As for his batting, I mean, I don't really think I need to justify it. And he'll probably bat around 4 or 5 in this team, I suppose.
Yeah, I had him as like number 3 in when I was going through, only because I didn't find as obvious a number. Well, I found it a little bit tricky with openers/number 3s in general. So it probably depends on how you go. Look, I think that's so far, other than Rashid Khan, these have been the exact picks everyone thought.
Yeah, my next one, I'll fix the number 3 thing for you because I have a number 3 player in mind. Watto, let's go Shane Watson for my next pick.
I had him as an opener in this side.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he could open as well. He's flexible that way. And Watto was one of those early, T20 prototype all-rounder players, right? Who you thought, like, this format is made for this ilk of cricketer. And I think he was mighty successful in T20 cricket as well. I remember even when he came to play in the PSL, he had such a massive tag with him. He was an absolute superstar. And someone also who could muscle the ball and had a lot of power. But also, I loved what he brought to the table overall. Like, whether it be in the field and as a bowler, if not for injuries, he was very, very decent, I'd say. It's just that with age, the bowling kind of just tapered off. And then towards the end, he was like a proper bat playing T20 cricket. But if you go to the early days, right, even the first IPL season where he won it with the Rajasthan Royals, and a few seasons after that, he did really well with both bat and ball. And I feel like at number three or wherever in the top order, even if we saw him in his opener, he provides us a lot of value.
Yeah. Look, he was a beast in 2012. He was a beast in the first IPL when he was fit. And he was quite, there was a couple of years where he was like a frontline bowler from the fifth position. He was certainly, as I said, I had him as an opener. So I had him on my side as well. I'm going to follow that up with, this is so vanilla. I'm going to let Estelle go chocolate swirls and peanuts and whatever, and chewing gum, whatever she's going to put in. I'm just going to put Dwayne Bravo in here.
Yeah.
There we go. Death bowling sorted, number 8, number 9. Well, in this side, he might be number 10 or number 11. Batting sorted. We're there.
Yeah. Music sorted. He can also sing the theme song of our team, right? Whenever they win the All-Rounders World Cup. And just a great character to have around, the energy. Also, someone really, really good in the field. And that slow one, right? The dips. I think that's... Yeah, he was in my team as well. But I think you've made things interesting for Estelle now.
Yeah, I thought if I took the most obvious one off the board, she would have to go rogue. And I think Crick Picks is mostly about me trying to make you two go rogue.
Yeah, especially these picking the 11s, right?
Yeah. If you love cricket on a deep spiritual level and want to be involved when no matches are being played, we have the game for you. Hit Wicket is so good that Harsha Bogle and me have backed it. And that's a lot of nerd energy behind one game. This is a strategic game of cricket, and it's not just about whacking your screen really, really hard with your finger. This isn't a game where you swipe all around to try and hit the ball. You work out what works best based on real-life cricket situation. For instance, dot balls bring pressure. Ones and twos lead to fours. There is no way you can just hit a six every ball or take wickets all the time. This is proper cricket. Yet it still has some special gaming powers in there as well. And so this game is about playing, but also building and managing your team. You are the batter, bowler, owner, coach, captain. It's your dream, right? And there are no ads. It's just cricket. Download HitWicket now and bring out the cricket legend in you. Because HitWicket is a cricket game made for you and supported by other cricket nerds. Stick it in your pocket today.
Okay, I have two picks. Okay, so I'll go for an opening batter, and you guys are going to laugh because this is the guy I picked in the previous one as well. I'm going with Chris Gayle.
Sanjay Saria.
Sana didn't play a lot of T20 cricket, did he?
But he could bowl.
Yes, he could. Yeah. But I'll still go with Gayle. I think if Sanath had played a couple more years, probably, I mean, he would have been one of the first picks, right? But Chris Gayle, handy with the ball, explosive with the bat. Yeah.
How you've got two cricketers.
Non-all-rounders.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to say here. You've gone with two cricketers so far, and she's like completely flaunting the system altogether. I love it.
All right, you have another pick, Estelle?
Glenn McGrath is my next pick because he was one of the best number 11s in T20 cricket. Yeah,
we picked him as our best number 11, right? Okay, so we've picked two fast-bowling all-rounders already. But I think it's difficult, it's difficult to look past him now because he's one of the better fast-bowling all-rounders around right now. So I'll go with Hardik Pandya, guy who can... You know, with the kind of players we picked right now, the batting order can always be very flexible, right? Except for maybe the top three. So I think he can fit in anywhere in that middle order.
Yeah, sounds about right. I was afraid you're going to pair Gayle with Narayan and then we're going to start calling Narayan an all-rounder. That was my fear.
Wouldn't Narayan based on, it's the IPL, but based on that qualify as an all-rounder? He doesn't look like one, but he's getting the runs and he's taking the wickets, right?
I think he's played as an all-rounder, whereas I think you can make a pretty big argument that Chris Gayle and Rashid Khan have not played as all-rounders.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think with Sonnen Orrin, it would be hard. You could still have the same debate with him, but I think you could make an argument that he's been picked for Kolkata and other sides around the world as an all-rounder. I don't think anyone's ever picked Rashid Khan because of his batting or, you know, thought about him because of his batting. And Chris Gayle's probably never been the fifth bowler in any side he's ever played in. And if he has, I really want to see that side because it would have been hilarious. So I think there's a separate argument to be had for those players directly. But that doesn't mean, I mean, you picked an all-rounder, so we have to give you full credit there.
Yeah. And Pandya did make my team as well. So that could have been a great first pick as well. I was thinking about it. But then I was like, I'm going to go for Watto and Maxwell because I really wanted both of those guys at 3 and 4.
So I will go... I'm going to go Shahid Afridi as my next pick.
Okay.
He's opening the batting with Gayle in this 11 or 12.
I suppose you could do that. Yeah. I mean, we can always work about that later a little bit. I mean, he gives us flexibility again. But yeah, one of the best T20 players of all time. I would have gone him over Rashid Khan just because he is a true all-rounder. And not every, and even some of the picks, we're obviously going to make fun of Estelle here, but not all the picks are going to be true all-rounders anyway. Like, you know, you can make an argument with Maxwell at times that he's more of a part-timer. Whereas I don't think you can with Afridi. I think Afridi is just genuinely a true all-rounder. And so, like Andre Russell, has to be in this side.
Yeah, I thought that if Afridi goes unpicked, I'll just get him because he was like staring at our faces, I suppose, in that regard. And now we have quite a strong top four, actually. Gayle, Afridi, Watto and Maxwell, right? So that is...
not a lot of anchors.
Yeah, this is like the perfect T20 team thus far. Okay, so I've got two picks in a row, right? Let me end this wicketkeeper thing that we have over here. Because there are only two options.
Are they nervous about the wicketkeeper?
Yeah. There are only two options that you can really go for, in my opinion. One is a goated player, right, of T20 cricket, the face of the IPL. But, I mean, he's only bowled a couple of deliveries here and there, right? He hasn't really bowled much. And whenever he has bowled, people have made memes out of it and that sort of stuff. So I'm going to go for the most obvious all-rounder, who is currently, you know, playing international cricket for New Zealand. I'm going to go Glenn Phillips, and he probably can slot in at number 5.
I knew you'd do it, so I purposely didn't pick it. So, you don't count AB de Villiers in this.
How much has AB bowled?
Well, here's my question to you. Why does it... because you made this, and I was quite interested, and I'm setting you up live on camera now. Why does it matter that a wicketkeeper has bowled, but it doesn't matter that the bowlers haven't wicket-kept?
That's a good question. I don't know of many bowlers who have wicket-kept, but what my thought process was behind this...
Estelle loves that, by the way, because that just shows your hypocrisy when dealing with all-rounders.
When I came up with this idea of an all-rounder T20 team all-time, I thought that there are a few keepers over here who have bowled. So that's how it kind of... like, the origination of the idea stemmed from Glenn Phillips in a weird way.
Actually, so maybe you should have gone with... an all-rounder who has also kept, because I had Phillips as the number one keeper, but TM Dilshan is another one who is kept in T20s, and he's technically an all-rounder as well. So
yeah, no, yeah, that's so a fantastic
there's a couple.
Point.
Ben Dunk is another guy who has kept and has bowled, although he probably shouldn't have kept or bowled. He should have just stuck to hitting sixes. but yeah, there's not all that many, is there? I just thought it was interesting that you went with that, because otherwise it's just AB de Villiers. And this team's better?
Yeah, I know. You make a fair point.
He has bowled in a World Cup semi-final 50-over tournament. Remember,
has
AB
he bowled
Davies?
But I have a question.
He must.
Does AB qualify as a non-wicket-keeping all-rounder, though? He doesn't, right?
Yeah, he doesn't.
No. Well, let's have a look. Has he bowled at all? He has zero balls in T20 cricket. No, you're right. He doesn't.
Yeah,
I thought he must have bowled some.
So Dhoni had bowled a few.
No,
he was the other guy in my head.
Cause,
so what
cause
does
like,
that say about South Africa?
Because we're looking at the other players, like and we are kind of looking at the records both with bat and ball, right? But with the keeper, we are looking at, has he bowled one ball?
Yeah.
Or has he like kept in one game?
That's my point. Like, I think it's a bit weird. But just to say how funny it is that South Africa in a World Cup semi-final, 50 overs, decided to bowl AB de Villiers. And somehow in his entire T20 career, he never delivered a single ball. I love that as well. Two test wickets, though. So, you know. A potential all-rounder, AB de Villiers.
But I think it still makes a very valid point over here, because when Glenn Phillips is not wicket-keeping, he's still somewhat an all-rounder in the team, whereas when AB de Villiers is not wicket-keeping, he's not.
No, and he's not.
I was tempted to go Dhoni, but I do have a Glenn Phillips bias. People who watch this show know how much I love him. And
The way that you phrased it, Glenn Phillips is the only option. Hmm. And the only other option that I'm aware of, and I'm sure there's a couple others I can't think of off the top of my head, but the only other option I can think of would be Ben Dunk, right? Hmm. I'm sure there would be a couple of others that I'm blanking on a little bit, but essentially that is what it is. Or,
I mean, you Dilshan. Could,
if you really wanted to be, Dilshan, how often did Dilshan bowl? Hmm. Or keep, I should say. So again, but if you really wanted to be funny, of course, you could do Dilshan, or you could do Mitchell Starc or Jofra Archer, who were all junior wicket keepers.
Yeah. Anyway, we've got our top five sorted. Then we've got Hardik Pandya and Andre Russell, right? So you've got these seven.
And Dwayne Bravo.
And Dwayne Bravo. Wow, so he's number eight. Who's taking our new ball? We don't have a new ball bowler, do we?
It has to be Andre Russell at the moment. And who it is at the other end, I've got a potential, but obviously it looks like you're going to try and fill that up now.
I'm going to throw everything into the spanner and go Abdul Razak, because then he can bowl with the new ball. And he was very, very good as a bowler. And with the bat, he was as explosive as all-rounders got in that particular era. So this gives us the deepest batting lineup in the world. And now we need to figure out four more overs with the new ball, guys. There is one name in my mind, but let's see where you guys go with this.
Okay. As Abdul Razak, by the way, if you're thinking that's a random pick, you need to go look at his numbers. I don't know how much money he would get paid to play T20 cricket these days. But it was an absolute legend. But just, you know, unfortunately, he was about 83 years old by the time T20 cricket was taken seriously. Recently popped up as what, head of selectors of the women's team, was it? Or something random?
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
And then he got sacked.
Then he got sacked. I mean, I think when you say someone got selected by the PCB, the obvious next comment is going to be that they're sacked. I don't think you need to. I think it would be more interesting if you said he was still in that position. Because generally, you get the job and 3 months later, you're sacked. I'm going to go, I think, one of the most underrated T20 players of all time, a player who was absolutely slaughtered on social media for his entire career. And you look at his numbers and there is no reason for this to happen. It's Chris Morris, who I do think can bowl a little bit with the new ball as well. And him and Andre Russell could share the new ball around Abdul Razak. It's not an ideal pairing, but the only other option I had was, again, not really an ideal pairing. And I think he's a better player than the other person I had on my list. So, yeah, I am going to, for my last pick, choose Chris Morris.
Interesting. There are a few players on my long list that, of course, we'll mention at the end of this podcast. But Estelle, now you are tasked with picking a 12th man who probably needs to be a spinner because we've only got two leggies in this team and a Maxwell. And Glenn Phillips, if you want to go down there, that direction.
Yeah, so I'm glad that I got the 12th man. It's the easier one to pick, right? I go with Sikandar Raza. I think he's been brilliant over the last couple of years.
Over Shakib, over Jadeja.
Yes.
Oh. I'm fine with it. I love Sikandar
Raza. Actually see her go, I hadn't thought of them.
Actually, I had Shakib in the middle order.
It is a bit. We have kind of made it. I think the Hardik Pandya pick, because we already had Bravo and Russell, makes Shakib harder for this particular team. Although then Sikandar Raza kind of fits in there as well. You've got Sikandar Raza.
Yeah, I've got Sikandar Raza. Also because, so we've got a couple of leg spinners in, right? So he could be that off-spinning option in the middle overs, kind of a mystery spinner as well. He bowls a bit of, top spinners and stuff. So I think he'd be a good 12th man, can field really well.
We probably,
Jared had said that Narayan qualifies. He was there as well.
Narayan as a 12th man isn't a good option, right? Because, imagine him coming on as a fielder.
I get your point there. Sikandar Raza can certainly field better than him.
Yeah.
I think if you pick Shakib, I think Shakib's maybe the most unlucky player to miss out on this.
Yeah.
But I think if you pick him in this particular team, we've already got two leg spinners who are spinning the ball away from the bat, right, in this side already. And so you would have three guys spinning it in one direction. So Sikandar Razak it maybe makes more sense over Jadeveer Shakib, even if they are better all-rounders. The Sunil Narine one is just interesting. I wonder then, it's so hard to work out this side because, like, the batting doesn't make sense anyway. But the one thing I would say is you probably don't need another pinch-hitting batter like Sunil Narine in this particular... Like, if you've got isn't Afridi just a better Narine, right, in T20 cricket? In that he's gonna average 25 and Narine's going to average 15 and their bowling is going to be similar even if Narine's a better bowler. And he's a better fielder than Narine as well. So once you've got Afridi in, do you really need Narine in this side? I think that's a valid question. I think Sikandar Razak is... you've done very well to squeeze him in on only a few good years of his career. But I don't think that's terrible. Who else do you all have on your list?
So there's some people who missed out over here. You said that Shakib is the unluckiest person to miss out on this team. I think it's Kiran Pollard. He's the obvious one who
But there
maybe
are too many of
in.
That type of player, right?
See, yeah. if we did not need a new ball bowler, I would have gone for Pollard over Razak for the batting. But I went for Razak just because I wanted to shore up, you know, some of the overs at the start.
I'm a massive fan of Pollard and obviously have worked with him before. He shouldn't be bowling. I know he's got like a million wickets, but like I had him on my longer list when I was thinking about it. But like he's bowling. You would need him in almost entirely for his batting, right? And I just think that his batting's good, but how much better is his batting than Hardik Pandya? And Hardik Pandya is like twice the bowler that Kiran Pollard is. Again, he's kind of a little... I think he's unlucky in the fact that if you take Gayle and Rashid Khan out of this side, right? Like, no. I'm just saying, if you have it as a more stringent all-rounder side of things, Kiran Pollard probably fits into this side. But the minute you've got those players a little bit more, Pollard probably gets edged out a little bit. Who else did you miss?
I had Albie Morkel, who didn't make it. He was a strong contender.
My thing with Albie is he's probably just not as good as Chris Morris, right?
I mean, I'm sure there could be a podcast just on that because I used to love Albie Morkel, right?
Oh, no, I think Albie Morkel's great. Yeah. But I just think that Chris Morris is probably just better at what he did.
He's definitely more underrated, I would say. People still rated Albie. Chris Morris kind of just went underneath the radar. If we needed left arm bowling options, I had a couple of names over here. Irfan Pathan, but then again, in T20s, it's not like he was setting fire. Apart from that first inaugural T20 World Cup, I don't remember him being really good in the format. But he was a left arm pace option. And I don't know if Sohail Tanveer qualifies, right? It's another one of those.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, is he an all-rounder? Is he not?
Yeah. Wayne Parnell batted at number 7 in a World Cup for South Africa. Yeah. So, I mean, they thought he was an all-rounder, even if they were the only ones on earth who did. So, yeah, I think that's a little bit interesting. Have you got anyone else, Estelle?
I had Pollard as well, like in my long list. Rashid Khan. Tim Southee, also one of those players who were kind of...
If you had said Tim Southee,
I might have sacked you.
From the show, I would live on air. I would have said, and sadly, this is Estelle's last episode.
That would have been hilarious.
Anyone else?
No, I think that's it. Yeah.
I mean, I also had Shakib and Jadeja, obviously, but I do actually like the Sikandar Razak pick has really grown on me because A, it is a very 12th man pick, right? And B, he does turn the ball in a different direction to as opposed to like Shakib and Jadeja because we've already got two leggies, right? So it makes sense that way. And maybe, you know, if you look at his current form, he's the best batter out of the three.
Yeah, no, that's fair. This was an all-time 11, of course. what do you both think of Yuvraj Singh?
This was made using MV Play's analytics, pro-level stats, bringing detailed insights and tips to help you enhance your game.
The problem with him is
he
never really batted well in T20 cricket, despite the fact that we all kind of know he could. Internationally, he did, but domestically, his numbers are really, really, for someone as talented as him. And like, I wasn't even sure if he cared that much about the IPL when he played, although he's about to coach a side, someone told me recently. So who knows, maybe he's caring about it a little bit more at the moment. But his bowling numbers, He only bowled in like half of his games, but he averages 24 with going at about 7.5 and over. Wow. So he's a, you know, for a pie chucker, he was an elite pie chucker. I wasn't sure. Once you had Glenn Phillips in that side, I kind of feel Glenn Phillips fit that role a little bit more. But we don't actually have an awful lot of left-handed batters in the lineup. So if you wanted to be more all-round, maybe you would look at someone like Yuvraj. And the other left-hander, I was a bit shocked Estelle didn't take. But now I think we understand that Chris Gayle is going to be on every one of her list. is Sanis Jayasuriya. So what about his record do you not think was what stands up, Estelle?
To be honest, I didn't check his record because I just felt like he hadn't played enough. Maybe I'm wrong.
He played 111 games.
But
so he averaged
that's T20s, 20, yeah. 23.
Yeah, that's all T20s. Yeah, yeah. He averaged, 23 with a bat with strike rate of 140. And his bowling was about as good as Yuvraj's, but he bowled almost every game he played, right? And I think if you factor in that he was already 84 when he started playing T20 cricket, and it was well beyond his best. I think it's an interesting one. I'm more than happy with Afridi as the other opener in that situation. I think Gayle and Afridi is a really interesting partnership because Afridi allows Gayle to start at whatever pace he wants, and Jayasuriya would a little bit, but then you've got two left-handers, so you've got some issues there potentially coming up. But I've got he was the other player who I thought had a genuine case to be on this list. I don't disagree with you on the idea of, well, the problem here is that he didn't actually play as many games, and I don't know how many Dwayne Bravo played, but he probably played 23,000. So yeah. You know, playing 111, that's a slow Tuesday for Dwayne Bravo. All right, let's have a look at this.
Yuvraj one is really interesting because I had not considered Yuvraj, and the more I think about it, he could very well have been a part of this team because he's like far better with the ball than, I don't know, Raina perhaps, because Raina you wouldn't really think of as an all rounder, right? Part time.
Yeah, I think when Yuvraj was bowling at his best, he was a fifth bowler, right? And Moreno, even at his best, is probably still a sixth bowler.
Yeah.
I think Yuvraj at his best is a better bowler than Maxwell, right? Maybe Maxwell is better in all conditions, but Yuvraj at his absolute best, I think he was a very, very clever bowler. And so he had the cleverness that Maxwell has. But on top of that, I think he was just a bit more skillful than Maxwell, right? I don't think Maxwell's a particularly skillful bowler. He just puts the ball in the right area because he knows where he doesn't want it to be bowled to him. And I think Yuvraj was slightly above there. And Sanath is a proper bowler, right? Like,
yeah.
And you know, he bowled every single game. So his numbers completely hold up. Anyway, that's where we are. And of course, the other one that we didn't put in that I wanted in was Ben Dunk. A little bit disappointed in both of you there. all right. Let's have a look at this team. Estelle went Rashid Khan, Chris Gayle, Hardik Pandya, Sikandar Razza. I went Andre Russell, Dwayne Bravo, Shahid Afridi, Chris Morris. Glenn Maxwell, Bayram with Glenn Maxwell, Shane Watson, Glenn Phillips, and Abdul Razak. The 11, and correct me if you want this changed slightly, but I have Chris Gayle, Shahid Afridi, Shane Watson, Glenn Maxwell, Glenn Phillips, Hardik Pandya, Andre Russell, Abdul Razak, Dwayne Bravo, Chris Morris, and Rashid Khan with Sikandar Razza at 12.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Good. I'm happy with that batting order. And I mean, if you think about it, it is one of those teams which would be quite hard to score off of, right? Because even though most of these guys are better batters than bowlers, your 20 overs could be, because you don't have to bowl everybody, right? Your 20 overs could be Rashid Khan, Afridi, Razak, Russell, Pandya, and maybe a bit of Glenn Maxwell in there.
Yeah. I think the biggest issue is if you've got a wicket.
Oh, Bravo.
Glenn
Bravo, I forgot it.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue is if you just want to, like, I think if you look at the seamers, because the spin is fine. If you've got Afridi, and Rashid Khan bowling your spin with Sikandar Razza who can come in and Glenn Maxwell who can bowl and Glenn Phillips who can bowl, I don't have any problems that with the spin. It does feel a little bit light on seamers. And also Abdul Razak and Dwayne Bravo are both medium fast, and Shane Watson are all kind of medium fast. Yep. Having said that, we still have Andre Russell and Chris Morris, and they can get it through. But yeah, it feels like the spin is maybe a little bit more solid than the pace. Just, you know, and picking Rashid Khan is, and if we didn't pick Rashid Khan and we had Sun on our own, it would still feel really solid on the pace, I think. On the spin. So it feels like to me it was kind of easier to do that. And the fact that Shakib didn't get in the side, like who's the best seam bowling all-rounder that we didn't have in? It's like LB Morkel, as you said before. Mm-hmm. Like whereas Sanath Jayasuriya didn't get in and Ravi Jadeja didn't get in, right? But mind you, maybe it's just because there's a million left-arm finger spinners in the world. And Hasaranga didn't get in. A little bit disappointed in Estelle there.
Anyway, for all of you watching, let us know how we did combining to build this T20 All-Rounders team. It was, of course, all time. So give us your 12s in the comments section below. And also let us know who you think won this particular draft. Me, Estelle, or Jared.
I'm feeling... Before you go, you can't win. You've got Glenn Phillips and Abdul Razak. If you win, there's something wrong here.
I've got Maxwell and Watto as well.
Yeah, I don't think Watto's as popular as you remember Watto to be. And I think there's a lot of IPL fans who still have question marks about Max. So I don't think you can win. Estelle's going to have problems with traditionalists who don't believe her first two picks are all-rounders. And then she went Sikandar Razak over some pretty prominent people at the end. My problem is a lot of people really hate Chris Morris. and so I think I've got a big issue at the back end of mine as well. But if Bayram wins this, I worry about the children of tomorrow.
Anyway, that's up to the listeners and viewers. So let us know in the comment section below. And thank you for taking out the time to watch this particular episode. We'll be back next week with another episode of Crick Picks. That is all for now, folks. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you will need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up great clips from your podcast chats and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.